Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Moore now is wide to the right side with a slot left for Russell, who goes under center. Now Lockett goes in motion. Russell play fake. Now he's going to throw down the middle. Got a man. Metcalf makes the catch, diving. He is in for a touchdown. Seahawks. What a play by the rookie DK Metcalf.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The very distinct voice of Steve Rabel, who is now into the playoffs yet again with the Seattle Seahawks. They've had quite a track record with both Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, and it's never a dull moment, right? It's always a wild ride with those two, that tandem becoming one of the old married couples in sports now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As we look ahead to Packers hosting the Seahawks on Sunday, we're pleased to welcome Steve to the show. And Steve, one of the things about the Seahawks is that they like to give their team, or their fans, excuse me, heart palpitations. They play all of these close games separated by a single score. What is it about these Hawks that continually lands them in these situations?
Amy, I don't know if there's anything that you can pinpoint and say, here's why they do what they do. But they just seem to figure it out every game, and it might be different every game. It could be that the defense, like last week in Philadelphia, is playing lights out, at least when it comes to rushing the quarterback. We gave up a fair amount of yards to the Eagles running the football, but held them to 3 field goals. So, you know, you can look at that and say, okay, there's something to build on. We did the same thing during the season, had a run of pretty good games in there against San Francisco and Minnesota, I'm talking defensively, and then came back toward the end of the season and kind of couldn't stop anybody. So you're just sort of not sure sometimes from week to week. Now, listen, I always say this too. Remember, the other guys on the other side of the line are getting paid to do their job. So there's some pretty good football teams that we played here along the way. But I think what really sets this team apart is their belief in Pete's, and that's Pete Carroll, of course, in his primary idea about playing football. And that is A, competition. We all know that. But B, it's really never over till it's over. And he constantly harps on it. You can't win it in the first or the second or even the third quarter, but you can win it in the fourth quarter. And so Russell has certainly taken that to heart. He's got more fourth quarter or overtime comeback wins since he's been a starting quarterback than anybody in the league. So he knows how to do it. I just think this team has bought in, a lot of young guys, and they're believing what coach and the veteran players are telling them.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up, because I look at this team and last year too, and I think this might be among Pete Carroll's best coaching jobs ever, considering all the transition, all the turnover. It's not been a rebuild, so to speak, but more of a reload. And so it's Russell Wilson, it's Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, a couple of veterans, but how have you seen Pete's leadership really kind of hold this team together when a lot of other franchises might have fallen apart in this process?
Yeah, it's a really good point, because Pete has a way of letting players bring out the best in each other. He is a very big believer in, if you let people be themselves and let their personalities come out to some extent, then you'll get the best out of them on the football field or in the office or in the classroom or with their family or church or wherever they are. You'll get the best out of that person if you nurture that and let that person grow. You know, I grew up and played in football in a time when it was all about, and I'm still about this, about the team, but everything is subservient to the team. You swallow your own pride. You don't think about yourself. You think about team. You do what it takes for the team. If they say, you're the best athlete on the team, but we want you playing third string cornerback, then you're supposed to deal with that and be a good team player. Pete wants people to be themselves, and in some cases, that draws the best. Russell, Bobby, KJ, without question. And then some guys, you know, they get a little full of themselves, or they believe that they are now in a position that they can criticize, or they can believe what they want to believe, and that's fine. And most of those guys aren't here anymore. And so it becomes this team that that believes from very early stages, and a guy like Pete Carroll, who has coached young guys all of his career for the most part. Remember, he has had his most success since he went to USC and was turning over the roster every 2 and 3 years. So this is a team that again, they believe in what he's saying, and you got the right leaders that are helping to teach those young guys.
And I think one of my favorite things about Coach Carroll is that even when things are tight and when they're maybe not going the way that he would like, he still looks like he's having a blast on the sidelines.
He does. He runs up. He is the youngest 68-year-old I think I've ever met, and he may actually be a little older than that. I'll be 66 here soon, and so to see him doing what he does, he's out there before the game. He throws the ball 35, 40, 45 yards downfield to one of the managers, one of the ball guys who he throws with every week before the game. I'm lucky if I can get up and down the steps to the press box.
Oh.
So this guy is amazing, and he thinks young, and he believes young, and he exudes that enthusiasm that you would wish all coaches had. Now, I'm certainly not in the coaches' offices after a tough loss, after we lost to the Cardinals this year at home, when it could have set us up for that final matchup with San Francisco, where we could have won it for all the marbles and been at home through the entire playoffs, and we just did not play well enough to win. And I'm sure that he was upset about that, but he keeps those things, much like any kind of criticism or corrections that he has for the players, he keeps those very much to himself, keeps it in-house. And I think the players really appreciate that. But he is something special. And all we can all hope here is he decides to coach well into his 70s.
Steve Rabel is a former Seahawks wide receiver, now the radio play-by-play voice with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I'd love to ask you about a rookie who had his breakout game, really, for the Seahawks against the Eagles, DK Metcalf. And it was kind of funny to hear some of his teammates describe him like Marshawn Lynch. But what has impressed you most about what you've seen from him his first season in the league?
Well, I think you, like everybody else out there, have seen the pictures. So when you saw what he did at the combine, when you saw him in college, and you saw him, just without his shirt on. I mean, he's a pretty impressive guy, let me tell you. And it's about 6'4 and 220 pounds, and literally, I think, 2% body fat, maybe less than that. And he runs a 4.45, 40. I mean, he's just incredible physically. But what's really impressed me is his ability to want to learn, his ability to want coaching from anybody, from his head coach, from his position coach, the offensive coordinator, and maybe as much as anybody, Russell. Russell works extra hard with him. They stay out after practice. He coaches DK, Russell does, on high-pointing the ball, and here's where we're going to be. If I'm scrambling around, here's what I need for you to do, and they practice those things. I think it's as much the mental aspect of the game as anything. He seems to me more like a four-year veteran than he does a rookie. And if he can stay healthy, and he's been pretty much healthy all year, he's played all season long with some bumps and bruises, but he's continued to play on. This kid is really going to be something. And, oh, by the way, he's really humble and a really good guy.
Mm. So I was looking at your Twitter, and your TV station, KIRO7, put this post up, and you retweeted it. The last time the Seahawks won in Green Bay, Mike Holmgren was in his first year as the head coach. Matt Hasselbeck was Brett Favre's backup. And then this is my favorite. Russell Wilson was 10 years old. So in other words, it's been a while. But in more recent memories, what do you remember from the last couple playoff trips to Lambeau Field?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about that today. Now, part of it is, part of it is I'm almost 66, as I mentioned. But part of it is, and I heard Russell say this week, somebody asked him about those previous games that he's played in Green Bay. And he said, I really don't think about that much. And then somebody asked him, well, what about the 2014 NFC Championship game against the Packers here at home? And he said, well, we had a big play at the end of the game, and I don't remember much else. He puts all that stuff out of his mind so he can focus on what's coming up.
Wow.
I don't truly remember a whole lot about those other games. I remember one, it was pretty cold. I remember one of the playoff games was where Matthew said at the top of overtime for the coin toss, see, this is what you remember, the crazy stuff. we want the ball, and we're going to score.
Yes!
He said, he said that for the benefit, literally, of Favre and those guys or whomever was playing quarterback at the time, just to make them laugh. And as it turned out, the Packers had the last laugh. But, you know, they're a great team, 13-3 or not, depending on what you think of their record, whether it was a soft schedule or not. They are who they are, and they have a quarterback who's won a Super Bowl and who's started 14 playoff games or 16 playoff games. That should be enough to let anybody know that the Packers are always in a game.
Steve Rabel is a play-by-play announcer for the Seahawks Radio Network. You hear his voice on their call, one of our favorites. We always love to play your calls. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So if you don't mind, I always enjoy asking players from previous eras. In fact, I was just talking to a guy who played for Tom Landry about 24 hours ago. I like to ask, what is the biggest difference between the game that you see now on the field and the time that you played, Steve?
Well, I think it's the game is much more complex now. You know, you have so many multiple style offenses and defenses. I mean, we had the zone defenses and the man defenses, and we all have different names for these things. You know, your basic 4-3 or your 3-4. I played in a wishbone offense at Georgia Tech as a tight end, and a lot of the option offense that you see today is just a variation of that, and the wishbone was a variation of other types of option games. So, you know, while things, I guess, change, maybe they stay a lot the same, there are a number of other differences, though, just the athletic ability of guys. Now, on my team back in the day, Kenny Easley, Steve Largent, those guys could have played in any era.
Right.
Kenny Easley was one of the greatest athletes I think I've ever seen. And then you know, go right through the years. You go back in the years, Gale Sayers could have played any time. Bart Starr could have played now, although, you know, not very fleet of foot with the defensive players as good as they are now. He might have taken a few more shots than he did back in the day. So I think that's part of it. The game is a little more, a lot more, actually, in depth. Coaching, there's so many more coaches. I had six coaches on the Seahawks, not counting the head coach. We had three on offense, three on defense, and the running backs coach was also the special teams coach.
Wow.
Now there are 30 guys, and they're just coaches and trainers and mind people. You know, we didn't have mind people when we played, and I can't even imagine how much more barbaric it was back in the 50s and 60s. At least I played in the early to mid 70s, so you know, we did have the benefit of some technology and all that, but it really has changed that way. And I think, too, now that I think about it, it was much more a game then where you do it because I told you to do it. You know, I'm the head coach. I'm telling you, you run through that wall or you do this or that. And now I don't think you can just say that. I think you have to kind of explain it to kids and tell them why it's important. In those days, it wasn't like that. So I think it's probably better now. I don't know that I could play in this era, probably couldn't. But back then, I could and did for 6 years and was thrilled to have the opportunity. But now, I just love watching these guys, their athletic ability, their preparation, the way Pete gets them ready. And to be with the same organization now for 44 years is just a thrill for me.
Steve Rabel on Twitter at Rabel, KIRO7. But you'll hear him this weekend from Lambeau Field as the Packers take on the Seahawks on the radio network. It's so good to talk to you. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Amy, anytime. Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.